Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther, and joining me today is Robert Marks, Distinguished Professor of Engineering at Baylor University. He is also a senior researcher at the Evolutionary Informatics Lab. And he's also the co-author of a brand new book called Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics, which is really aimed at explaining, obviously, what evolutionary informatics is for the general reader and science enthusiasts. So welcome, Dr. Marks.
Thank you, Rob.
In your book, Intro to Evolutionary Informatics, part of what you do is explain some of the attempts to model Darwinian evolution. And I guess, in short, you basically think they fail for various reasons. They're not very realistic in how they do certain things, or they do some things, but that's not very interesting in the long run. Or maybe it's a combination of both of those things. But I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that, but also about some of the objections that people have thrown up to how you explain these various attempts to model evolution.
Okay.
In talking about that, I would like to just throw out two or three of the objections and get your feedback and how you would address those. So the first one that we've seen and you've run into, I'm sure, is the objection that Darwinian evolution is so complicated that it can't be modeled.
Well, the bottom line on that is if somebody comes up and says, so complicated it can't be modeled, then they agree with our conclusion. They got there by a different path. And the conclusion is there exists no model successfully describing undirected Darwinian evolution. I'm reminded of an old story about a boy that was being tested because he was so optimistic all the time. And they put him into a room full of horse manure, and he began to dig, and he got excited, and the clinical researchers came in and said, why are you so excited? He said, well, you know, with all this horse manure, there must be a pony in here somewhere. And I think that is kind of the response that I understand that the Darwinians say, you know, it's just so complicated. Things are just happening so much that all of this Darwinian process is going on. We can't understand it, but there must be a pony in there somewhere. I also listened just yesterday to a Google talk by John Searle, one of the great philosophers. And at the end, he was asked certain questions about computers gaining consciousness. And the question was proposed in much the same fashion about Darwinian evolution. It says, you know, with all this complexity, with all of this advanced computing power, as computers become more and more exciting, more and more complex, certainly we will have consciousness emerge from this. It's exactly the same sort of argument that things are so complicated that there must be a pony in there somewhere. But no, I don't think there is.
So things can't be modeled because they're so complicated. Is it that we don't know enough yet to model it? Someday we'll achieve the ability to figure all this out? Or is it that they just really believe that that's never going to be the possibility?
Well, if it's never going to be a possibility, and this is one of the conclusions in our book also, if there's never going to be a modeling of Darwinian evolution, then that means that Darwinian evolution is not a hard science. We have models which describe everything that we have in hard science. Gregory Chaitin, one of the greatest living mathematicians, possibly the greatest mathematician of my generation, says the honor of mathematics requires us to show whether or not evolution can be modeled by mathematics. That isn't a verbatim quote, but that's pretty close. And so, indeed, that's one of the purposes of this book, is to look at whether or not evolution is a hard science. And it isn't. There exists no such model. Now, in biology, there's a bunch of different hard models, hard science. I have a friend here, Keith Schubert, that's doing work on, what do they call it? It's extreme life organisms, these organisms that live in sulfur caves.
Oh,
and he's using finite automata theory in order to do that. I'm learning about something called Volterra series, and I learned them from a biologist that was looking at these Volterra series for nonlinear systems to describe the way that things diffuse through cell walls. So there's lots of hard science in biology, and it's evident everywhere else where there are hard sciences. I mean, physics, you have Newton's rules, quantum mechanics, you have Schrodinger's equations, classical physics, you have Newton's equations. So you have all of these different hard models where the mathematics describes the phenomenon. And obviously, there exists no model which successfully describes undirected Darwinian evolution.
Wow. Well, it sounds to me, as a layperson, I see things in the news all the time. It sounds like they're modeling it here and there and everywhere. Are these the other models you were just talking about? And then someone sort of implies that this is evolution being modeled, but it really isn't.
Well, one of the things that we have to avoid in modeling is we can't do hand waving. We can't do extrapolation. There's lots of, I think, what engineers would call adaptation, you know, Galapagos finches, yes, changing the peaks and things of that sort. Well, actually, that's really good design. If I'm going to design a robot or something, I want it to be able to adapt to the environment. So I think that that's great adaptation. But extrapolation of such phenomena is inappropriate. I actually did a lot of work in the area of extrapolation. And extrapolation is something which is what mathematicians called ill-conditioned. If you put a little bit of uncertainty on your data that you're extrapolating, your extrapolation becomes worthless. So none of that. Nothing anecdotal, no hand waving, no extrapolation of evidence. What we're looking for is an overarching model to explain the origin of the species and how something as complicated as a human evolved from an amoeba.
Hmm. Well, it sounds to me like math, physics are hard sciences. And I don't mean this in a demeaning way. Biology is more of a soft science. There's a difference there. So another objection I've heard is that you're not a biologist. So why should anyone listen to you about evolution? Oh, it's evolutionary biology, right? So you're an engineer and not a biologist. Should you be talking about evolution?
The answer is yes. That's the short answer. It turns out proponents of Darwinian evolution became very giddy about computer development, the 1960s and 1970s, and they thought, oh boy, we can't do this in a wet lab, we can't recreate evolution, but maybe on a computer, we'll have the ability of doing thousands and thousands of generations of evolution, and therefore be able to establish what evolution is. And it does turn out that engineers, we borrow from these theories all the time, actually has a large area of specialty called evolutionary computing. I became first interested in evolutionary computing back in the middle 90s. And at the time, I was editor-in-chief of the IEEE Transactions on Neural Networks, and I invited some of the great researchers at the time, David Fogel and his father, Larry Fogel. Larry Fogel was one of the pioneers of evolutionary computing from an engineering perspective. I invited them to be guest editors of the special issue, and they did have the special issue. It led to David founding the IEEE Transactions on Evolutionary Computing, which is a journal which still exists today, which is probably the top engineering computer science journal dedicated to the topic. Personally, I published my first paper on evolutionary computing in, I think it was 1999. Wow. And the work has continued. In fact, I was funded by the Office of Naval Research, the ONR, to look at evolution of swarm intelligence. Swarm intelligence is how dumb bugs do smart things, how do bees build hives, and how do spiders weave webs and things of that sort. And how did dumb bugs do smart things? Well, it turns out that they simply follow very simple rules. And so those simple rules give rise to very interesting behavior. And we were contracted by the Office of Naval Research to look at the evolution of these and see if we could actually develop cool rules for a swarm of robots or even artificial digital agents to do something interesting.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm not a biologist, but boy, do I know about evolutionary computing, and I know about evolutionary models, and that's what the book is about. And if you want to find something about evolution from a biological perspective, this is not the place to go. But if you want to find out how the Darwinian side is attempting to model evolution and why it doesn't work, then this is the place to go.
Yeah, it's a great book. It is written for people who are interested in the subject but aren't mathematicians or engineers or biologists necessarily. Of course, all those people would enjoy this book as well.
Here's the thing, if I get, we actually do in the book put off sections which get more into the depth, more into the technical aspect. But I was really motivated by Michael Behe's Darwin's Black Box, where he actually looked at the technical stuff and he said, this is technical. You can skip it on this reading. But not only that, but you can also look at the references on evoinfo.org. And if you really want to get deep in the weeds, you're welcome to look at the papers where all of the dirty details are at.
That's a good point, evoinfo.org. And as you pointed out to me recently, we should spell that out, evoinfo.org. You can find out about the research that is done by the Evolutionary Informatics Lab, where Dr. Marks is at, and about the book, which is Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics. It's published by World Scientific Publishing, and probably the easiest place to get it is at Amazon.com. Again, that's Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics. Well, Dr. Marks, I want to thank you for being here today. And as always, we'd be happy to have you back again and talk more about whatever sort of computing and artificial intelligence and proclamations that are coming down, you know?
Yes, I'm up for it.
Okay, we will have you back soon. Thank you again for being with us. And for ID the Future, I'm Robert Crowther. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.